Well, it's a little bit of an emotional morning because for me, and I know for a lot of you, because Don Sweats is here at church this morning. For those of you who don't know, he had major heart surgery when? Like
26th.
The 26th of June. I mean, this is 2 weeks later and he's sitting here in church, and just so glad that you're here. Don, we prayed for you, and I know that was a major surgery. We're so glad God saw you through, and Kathleen sitting next to you today. It's so wonderful. I want to greet my friend Ted Moore, who lives on my street. And there's a family here that's staying in Steve and Chrissy Young's house. I want to welcome you here also. And anybody else here for the first time, I want to welcome you to La Church by the Sea. In the spring of 1973, I met the woman that I was looking for all my life. She was captivating, she was vivacious, she was beautiful. She was a hippie chick named Nikki Blumenfeld. And I cannot express enough the feelings of love and joy that took over my life as we dated and courted, to the point where I asked her to marry me on Christmas Eve of that year, and at our next anniversary would be our 42nd year. So it's been a wonderful relationship. Thank you. There's nothing quite like that joy, is there? There's nothing quite like the exhilaration, the thrill, the sensation, the overwhelming sense of love when you have something wonderful like that come into your life. And a lot of you know what I mean on other levels, such as music. Those of you who play music know that feeling of bliss and joy when you play music. Those of you who are artists, when you create, you know that joy. Those of you who love to dance, you know that joy. And I think those of you who surf probably know that joy also. But certainly in knowing God and in encountering God and in experiencing God, we also enter into that joy that I found when I met my wife. And many times more sometimes, because God has a supernatural way of just filling us in ways that nobody else really can. And if you are looking to be happy in life, if you're looking to be happy in life, as happy as I am in my marriage, I can tell you that if you expect somebody to make you happy, you're really in trouble. Because there's only one person who can make you happy, and that's God. Is that right? Only one person who can make you happy, and that's God. Well, today we are going to look at the prophet that we have been studying over the past several weeks, and that is the prophet Jeremiah. And he found something that was wonderful in his life. And I'm going to speak to you from one verse today. So I'll be more of it'll be more of preaching than teaching, actually. That verse is from Jeremiah 15:16. I'm going to put it up on the overhead for you. So on the PowerPoint, there it is. It is a well-known verse. It is a verse that I loved the first time that I read it. It's a powerful verse. And if you can grasp this verse and the deeper sense of the meaning of this verse, it can be very inspiring to you this morning. And that's my prayer, that there will be a revelation of God concerning what this verse is talking to us about. Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah is having a conversation with God. God and Jeremiah are speaking. And it's really a very tough time in his life. And if you read that verse in the context of the chapter, you'll see that Jeremiah is really struggling. I mean, he struggles all through the book because he's been commissioned by God to give this strong message to God's people who are in rebellion. And even now, he continues to feel that. And as he shares these words, he is especially in distress. but you don't really see it in the one verse. But what he's doing here is he remembers, and it's kind of like benchmarks in our past. Like the benchmarks in our past where we look back and go, that was a good time. Huh? Think back. What was a good time for you? What was a time that, like, you met that special someone, or you got that promotion, or something beautiful happened to you, or wondrous? Jeremiah and God are having this conversation, and Jeremiah says to God, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I bear your name, O Lord God of hosts." Wow, what a verse. Just packed full of great things. Four things that I could bring up. I could bring up many things in this one verse, but four things I want to focus on and highlight for you. First, your words. Jeremiah says, these are your words that I found. These aren't the words of a scribe. These aren't the words of a rabbi. If it were in our day, these aren't my words or Jeff's words or the words of A.W. Tozer or Graham Cook or C.S. Lewis. These are words much higher than those words. These are God's words. I found your words. And I mean, has a thought ever struck you? Like, words we have in this book here are the words of God Almighty, that God has determined to speak to his people and to speak to the earth. And the wonder of God's direct communication to us, so much so that Jesus is called what? He is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God identifies himself as the communicating God in Jesus being called the Word. But we also have the written word and the spoken word. Your words were found, and I ate them. So the first thing is, these were God's words. These were the words that came straight from God's heart for this man. And what God speaks to him will change his life, for sure, as we've seen in past weeks and we'll see in weeks to come. But he did more than just find God's words, didn't he? He did more than just discover God's words. He also did what? He ate God's word. He says, "I found your words and I ate those words." Now, had I met Nikki and just thought that was a pretty lady and isn't she nice and then moved on, that does me no good. What does me good is that I pursued her. And what did Jeremiah good was he pursued the words that God gave him, and he ate those words. He consumed those words. He devoured those words. He ingested those words into his very soul, into his very being, into his very heart. The word of God became alive. Jesus said in John 6:63, "These words that I speak, they are spirit, power, and they are life." They are life. And that's the beauty of God's word, the power and the life that they impart. I want to look at a couple of parallel verses, because this idea of eating and digesting God's word is a theme found all the way through the scriptures. So I want to put up a couple of other scriptures for you, that those of you who like to take notes and like to go home and study. And by the way, I said this in the first service, when we speak, whoever speaks up here, whether it's Jeff, myself, Steve, Lauren, whoever it might be, don't take our word for what we're saying. Go home and look at the passages and study those passages. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself a workman that you might be approved of God." So one parallel verse that speaks about taking in God's word is from Psalm 19:10. Read that psalm when you go home today. It is a beautiful psalm that highlights the beauty of God's word. "Your words are sweeter than honey," says the psalmist, "even honey dripping from the honeycomb." This is the sweetness of the word to the psalmist in Psalm 19. And then in Psalm 1, a very familiar psalm to many of you, "Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Let me say, as I read this psalm, notice the progression. This is a little bit of a diversion. Notice the progression of sin, how sin happens. Notice, blessed are those who do not, what? Walk. First, in the counsel of the wicked, and then what? Stand in the path of sinners, and then what? Sit. That's the progression of sin always. You're just walking along. Then you stand, and then you look, and then pretty soon you sit down and you're in it. That's the progression of sin right there in Psalm 1. But that's not what I'm highlighting today. But their delight is in the law, or the Torah, or the word of the Lord, and in his word they meditate, or they eat, literally digest, the word in the Hebrew is. Literally digest day and night this word. And what is the result? What is the result of God's word? What is the result of that man or that woman who meditates, who takes into their very being consistently day and night? What is the result? The result is this. They will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Their leaves never wither, and whatever they do, they prosper. That's a pretty earth-shaking promise. How many here would like to be strong like a tree planted? How many here would like to be fruitful in your lives? And how many here would like to, in whatever you do, you would prosper? That's a promise right there. That's a promise. You can stand on that promise. That it doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges in your life when you are in a fruitful time of a fruitful season. It doesn't mean there's going to be challenges in maybe you're prospering in your work or whatever you're doing. It doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges, but this is a word that you can stand on. And so this is what happens when you meditate. There's a gift given to you by God. Because what the Word of God is connection. The Word of God is connection with God. It is finding God on a heart level. And that's what this is about. Next verse, last one in relation to this eating the Word of God, is from Matthew 4:4, where Jesus said, these are Jesus' words, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus is saying here, your spiritual body is built up by taking in the Word of God into your very soul and heart. Now this morning when I got up, I decided that I probably should eat something nutritious so I would feel good. And so I ate, what did I eat? I ate some fruit, I ate some nuts, I had a protein drink, and I ate some cottage cheese. And I thought, that's a pretty well-rounded breakfast. Maybe you don't think so, but I do. I liked it. So, because I wanted to feed my body. I wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel strong. I wanted to have some energy and vitality. And so I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good. Thank God. I'm feeling good. So, as food nurtures the body, the Word of God nurtures your heart and your spirit. It builds you spiritually. And those of you who are feeling a little bit weak, a little bit out of sorts, a little bit messed up, a little bit not sure spiritually what's going on, you just probably need to eat. You know, if I don't eat for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 days, I'm not doing so good. My body, I get pretty weak. One of the reasons I ate this morning is I didn't want to fall over and faint in front of you, which can happen if you don't watch out. But if you're feeling a little bit out of it spiritually, oftentimes it's because you are not taking into your life the nourishment that your heart and your spirit needs. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay, if I could have the Jeremiah verse back up, Greg. Thank you. All right, the third thing I want to mention, let me jump to the fourth thing, where Jeremiah says, I bear your name, O Lord God of hosts. And that's like Jeremiah has a sense of like, I'm yours, God. I'm yours. And I'm proud to be yours. I'm proud to be called your son. I'm proud to be called the prophet that you have anointed to speak to your people. It might be hard, it might be tough, but I'm proud of it. Just like all of us here in this room who have yielded our lives to Christ, we are proud to be called by the name of Christ. Are you proud? I am proud. It may not be the most popular name in culture these days, but I'm proud to be called by the name of Jesus Christ. I am proud. I feel a sense of loyalty and faithfulness. And this is the feeling of Jeremiah and just be saying, he's saying, God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. In the midst of whatever is going on in my life and in the midst of whatever is going on in the culture, I am yours. I bear your name. And I'm so glad that I do. Now I'm going to go back to the middle of the verse where the result of these words being eaten and after they are found, the result is that this joy and this delight of heart fills Jeremiah. He's just overcome in having this revelation. And believe me, I'm talking about a revelation here, because you can read your Bible and you can even believe what it says. You can skim through it, this and that. What I'm talking about is when you find it. I looked at Nikki and I found the woman. That's her. That's the one for me. And when God shows you, this is words for you in your life. You find the Word of God, and it becomes real to you, and it becomes necessary to you, and it becomes important to you, and it's your lifeblood. That's finding the Word of God. That's finding it, finding the beauty of it, and making it an exciting time in your life. Now, in 1971, when I first became a Christian, on the day after I received Christ, I found the Word of God. I opened my Bible and I was stunned, shocked at what came out. I had never, ever knew that the Bible was speaking such things. And I just, for the next 3 years, day and night, night and day, I gave myself. When I wasn't working and sleeping little, I was reading, studying this book. I was going to Bible studies. I was listening to studies on the radio. J. Vernon McGee, I remember him especially. The Bible Bus. Listened to that for years. Because I just fell in love. I was just like captivated by the beauty of this book. And yes, there's challenging parts in it. And I worked through all those things. And that's part of studying, and that's part of researching, and that's part of looking. 3 years, I gave myself day and night, and then only one thing slowed me down. That's when I met Nikki. It slowed me down. But not much, because all through our courtship, we made this the center of our relationship. I talked to her. She was a new Christian, and we spent a lot of time together going over the scriptures and talking about what it meant to be a Christian. And it was a tremendous joy. Those 3 years I consider to be some of the most important years of my life, because this is what happened. In those 3 years of ingesting the Word of God into my life and allowing it to pour into my life, it was like diving into a swimming pool. That was like what I was doing. It laid a firm spiritual foundation in my life, which I could stand on that foundation for the next 40 plus years. And that's the importance of what God's Word does for you. It gives you a strong spiritual foundation to stand on. And Jesus talks about that, and I'm going to look at what he said about a firm spiritual foundation. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7, I want to mention a parallel verse here that will speak to us about a foundation of God's Word in our lives. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 24 to 27, just four verses. And Jesus gives us a really great understanding of the importance of this foundation. He says, Everyone who hears these words of mine, I'm reading from the New American Standard, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. So a very, very severe storm came against that house, but it stood because it was built on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So Jesus gives us here a clear exhortation that those who hear God's word and act upon God's word are establishing a foundation that when the storms of life come, and they will come, some of you are in the storms of life right now. Some of you are struggling in trials and situations that are very, very tough. And you will stand to the degree that your foundation is strong. Now in 1993, on October 27, my house burned to the ground along with 396 other houses in Laguna, in the Laguna firestorm. And we hired we decided to rebuild. We hired an architect and a builder. And I had never built a house before. And guess what the first thing I learned was? What is the most important feature of a house? The foundation. Without a strong foundation, if you come over to my house now, my wife is so artistic, you're going to look at my house and you're going to go, wow, that's an awesome house. She's got beautiful decorations. We've got antiques. We have the spiral staircase that looks like a sculpture. Everything looks great in that house. But if it's not built on a strong foundation, if we get a 4.5 earthquake, the thing is going to fall over. But we learned that the priority in building a house is laying a strong foundation. And we laid a strong foundation. We sank 8 40-foot caissons, which are concrete pillars. We laid 8 of those into the ground, and my house stands on 8 caissons. And whatever comes along, my house is going to withstand whatever it might be, that storm or that earthquake, whatever it's going to be, it's going to stand. I'm going to say to you right now that you will stand in the storms of life if you have a strong spiritual foundation. So the question is, do you have that? And only you can answer. Is there a strong spiritual foundation in your life that you can stand on and know that whatever comes along, you are going to stay focused and fixed upon God? You may shake a little bit, the house may move a little bit, but you're going nowhere. But if you don't have a strong foundation and things get tough, you're going to head for the nearest bar or somewhere else, and you're just going to have consequences that aren't going to be not very happy. So this message is about finding God's word, ingesting God's word, and allowing that word to sink a strong spiritual caisson or two into your life, where you can stand no matter what. I've got a feeling Don here, who went through major heart surgery, I've got a feeling your faith, Don, carried you through. I've got a feeling the fact that you could go through what you went through and be here this morning. I've got a feeling that there's a foundation in there that's pretty strong. Yeah, amen. All right, I want to close my message. We're going to have communion today as we do once a month. I'm going to close my message with a couple of comments that I wrote just before I sent my PowerPoint here about the Word of God. The Word of God must be our sole and final authority for living the Christian life. Now that is the most important thing I could ever say to you. If I ever say anything in 45 years of pastoring, this is the most important thing I could ever say to you, that the Word of God must be your sole and final authority for living the Christian life, it clearly speaks God's will in all matters of importance. If the Bible is not your sole authority, you become your own authority. So if you're not living for what the Bible says and believing what the Bible says, you become your own authority. And then you pick and choose what you like about the Bible. You decide what is right or wrong. Nothing is more important for the believer than yielding and surrendering to what God has revealed in His Word. And that's what has kept me, as a pastor all these years, has kept me focused and steady, is that I believe that this is my sole purpose, my sole reason, my sole authority for living. And then one more statement. The Word of God reveals Christ. This is not the end. The Bible is not the end. The Bible is like a car that takes you to a destination. The Bible is to take us to God. It's to take us to Christ. It is a message that pierces the heart and leads to repentance. And repentance is a doorway to heaven and eternal life. And God's Word has the power to make man everlastingly happy. Could there be any greater power in the world than the power of the Word of God? Every single one of you who came to Christ, somebody spoke to you the gospel, spoke to you of who Christ is and what He's done. Every single one of you had your lives transformed and changed because the Word of God pierced deep down inside, and suddenly there was an explosion and you believed. It is the power of the living Word of God. That power to make man everlastingly happy. It gives hope and comfort and encouragement when life is hard. Like God speaking to Moses, the Word of God today, now in your life, is God's burning bush speaking to us in that way. And like Jeremiah, the Word of God can become the joy and delight of our lives. And notice that last sentence. I use the words can become. Because it doesn't have to be. You can just keep sailing along like you've been. But it can become. It's a prayer that I pray for all of us today. That you would find the Word of God. And you would eat it. And you would saturate yourself in it. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago. Actually, when I go home, I have this little pool in my backyard. I'm going to dive into my pool. Dive into this. And find the wonder of heaven. Dive into this and find the riches of Christ. Dive into this and find truths that will set your life on course and set your life in a right way. It is the Word of God, the living, active, powerful Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, piercing deep down into our hearts and dividing, speaking to us, encouraging us, exhorting us, pleading with us, correcting us. It is the Word of God. It is our sole and final authority as believers. May God grant you this experience of finding God's Word and eating it and coming into that place of such joy and delight that your life is never the same again. Amen.